Now, the Dharmapada is otherwise known as the way of truth. And during the 1800s, Buddhism became popularized in the West through a very enlightening book written by Edwin Arnold called The Light of Asia. And it became very popular because it gave an exposition of what Buddhism is. We would like to read a few pages from it to set the tone for the Dharmapada. We'll begin by saying that pray not, the darkness will not brighten. Ask not from the silence, for it cannot speak. Vex not your mournful mind with pious pains. Ah, brother, sister, seek not from the helpless gods by gift and hymn, nor bribe with blood, nor feed with fruit and cakes. Within yourself, deliverance might be sought. Each man his prison makes. Each hath such lordship as the loftiest ones. Nay, for with powers above, around, below, as with all flesh and whatsoever lives, act maketh joy and woe. What hath been bringeth, what shall be and is, worst, better, last for first, and first for last. The angels in the heavens of gladness reap fruits of a holy past. The devils in the underworlds wear out deeds that were wicked in an age gone by. Nothing endures. Fair virtues waste with time. Foul sins grow purged thereby. Who toils a slave may come anew a prince. For gentle worthiness and merit won. Who ruled a king may wander earth in rags for things done and undone. Higher than Indra, ye may lift your lot and sink it lower than the worm or gnat. The end of many myriad lives is this, the end of myriads that. Only while turns this wheel invisible, no pause, no peace, no staying place can be. Who mounts will fall, who falls will mount. The spokes go round unceasingly. If ye lay bound upon the wheel of change, and no way where of breaking from the chain, the heart of boundless being is a curse. The soul of things felt pain. You're not bound. The soul of things is sweet. The heart is, of being is celestial rest. Stronger than woe is will. That which was good doth pass to better, best. I, Buddha, who wept with all my brother's tears, whose heart was broken by a whole world's woe, laugh and am glad, for there is liberty. Ho, ye who suffer, know. Ye suffer from yourself. None else compels. None other holds you that ye live and die, and whirl upon the wheel and hug and kiss its spokes of agony, its tire of fears, its nave of nothingness. Behold, I show you truth. Lower than hell, higher than heaven, outside the utmost stars, further than Brahm doth dwell. Before beginning and without an end, as space eternal and as surety sure, is fixed the power divine, which moves to good, only its laws endure. These words moved the nation to discover Buddhism. And this discovery is outlined in the Dhammapada. It's composed of 423 verses and 26 chapters. The Dhammapada is called the Way of Truth. However, Buddha being born in 567, there wasn't no written word, and there was an oral tradition, and these words were passed down from generation to generation, and they were passed down by an oral tradition, but by chanting and but by memorization as well. Buddha did not come to bring forth a new religion. He came as a purifier and a resuscitator of Hinduism. Buddha was a lover of animals and men. He wanted to bring an end to the cruelty of anthropomorphic religion, causing a great amount of evil, which has resulted in the world from a confusion of morality and religion. We all know too well that most of the conflict that has plagued the world has been through religion. By arousing or announcing a religion which proclaims that each man could gain salvation for himself without mediation of priest or reference to God, he would increase the respect for human nature and raise the tone of morality. The world of experience, according to Buddha, does not require for its explanation any God. The law of karma is enough. There, in Buddhism, there has been a confusion about the immortality of the ego, and it has caused a split in the Buddhist teachings. But on this question of immortality, we have this to share. In the southern teachings of Buddhism, is that at death, a man's tendencies and traits of character are resolved into psychic residues and traits of character are resolved into psychic residues termed by the Buddhists as skandhas, and that these are all that remain of the man that has died. The skandhas, carriers of karma, are there reborn in some other person or individual, but without any connecting link or continuity of egoity. However, in Northern Buddhism, it has preserved the teachings given by Buddha to his arhats or his initiated disciples. Here was taught the doctrine of a permanent identity, which unites all incarnations of a single individual. Karma, therefore, is the key teaching of Buddhism, becomes almost senseless without divorced when divorced from the idea of reincarnation or the reincarnating ego, and confirms this by pointing to the teachings of the progressive development of the soul through successive incarnations, and that by And that Buddha by no means renounced all of Hinduism. The appeal of Buddha as a man, his teachings of the law, and the ideal of universal brotherhood. His teachings of money, his teachings of mercy of all creatures. This is the religion of love. Buddha did not give the world a new religion, he gave it a new interpretation. He taught Hinduism not to take, but to give life. True sacrifice was not of others, but of self. Each one of us to try to live the life we would have the world live. There are three jewels of Buddhism that each Buddhist takes to heart. And these three jewels are Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And Buddha is that we should all be aware that Buddha was a man that was born into this world, who struggled and saw suffering, and was deeply touched, and that we should be reminded that we too, as men and women, can be as Buddha. We have within our nature that same wisdom and nature as Buddha displayed. So take refuge in that idea of Buddha. And also take refuge in the Dharma. Take refuge in the duty, in the law, in the karma of life. And the Sangha, which is the community. Be joined with those of like mind and make refuge with those who bring out those quality of the Buddha nature, that one too can live that life of love and compassion. So, what is the Dhammapada? Well, it's a collection of verses that are attributed to Buddha, but they give to us a point of view and a point of reflection, a point of meditation, and a point of refuge. In these 26 verses, Buddha tries to open the mind to the realities of one's thoughts. In the very beginning, Buddha emphasizes this. In chapter one, it's called the twin verse, or the twin verses. And it reads, "All that we are is the result of what we have thought. All that we are is founded on our thoughts and formed of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain pursues him, as the wheel of the wagon follows the hoof of the ox that draws it. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. All that we are is founded on our thoughts, formed of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness pursues him like his own shadow that never leaves." We are told and taught by theosophy that the mind is the great creator in the human workshop through the use of will and imagination. So it's how we use our thoughts as how we consider our connection to all of life. He goes on in this twin verse, and he states this: rain pours into an ill-thatched house, desires pour into an ill-trained mind. Rains wet not a well-thatched house. Desires enter not the disciplined mind. Here and throughout the Dhammapada, he states that our duty is to control the mind and to give it direction, not let it wander about and pander to the senses, but ever directed to that which is higher and more universal. And he states in chapter two that we need to be vigilant, and he calls this chapter vigilance, and stating that vigilance is the path to life eternal. Thoughtlessness is the path to death. The reflecting vigilant die not. The heedless are already dead. The wise distinctly understand this. Therefore, they delight in wakeful watching. They gaze in the pastures of the Aryas, the noble ones. We are to be constantly vigilant of our lower nature. We are to keep it under control and not lead us into the path of our lower desires. Because we live in this world where our mind is attracted by these fantasies of life, these desires which well up within us and are constantly tempting us to live a life in the pleasure grounds of senses. And Buddha states that vigilance among the heedless, awake among the sleepy, the wise ones forge ahead, even as a charger outdistances a weak horse. He has a Buddha or the Dharmapada as a chapter called the mind. Let a wise man watch his thinking. The mind moves with extreme subtlety and is not noticed. It seizes whatever it desires. To watch the mind is conducive to happiness. He who controls his mind escapes the bondage of Mara. The mind is incorporeal, moves alone, travels far, and rests in the cave of the heart. On the idea of punishment, all men tremble at the rod. All men fear death. Putting oneself in the place of another, one should neither slay nor cause to slay. All men tremble at the rod. To all men, life is dear. Putting oneself in the place of another, one should neither slay nor cause to slay. One should gather about himself empathy for the other, to put oneself in the place of another while one acts. How would we respond to our own words and deeds? This brings us to the main teaching of Buddha, and that is of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. Buddha stated these four noble ideas: that the world is full of sorrow and suffering. And we know this all too well. For we come into this world, it has a beginning and it has an end. There is birth and death. We are born in this hall of ignorance, and in it we see the light. We see the second noble truth. We see the cause of suffering. For we are the cause of the suffering. Our attachments, our wants, our desires bind us to the suffering. But there can be a cessation to this suffering, and that we can do by detaching ourselves from those desires, but by ever keeping a vigilance on our thoughts and deeds. This detachment is done of our lower nature, not of our higher. That we need to be aware that we are a spiritual being. We are not this body. We are not these tendencies. We are not these changing fantasies of life. We are ever the same. And to understand that, we must stop this craving of our lower nature. And to do that, he has shown us the Eightfold Path. And that path is called the Middle Way. And that path is of eight sorts. It comes with a right view, a right resolve, a right livelihood, right speech, right action, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Now, if we do this, that our right view and right resolution are our foundation to enter this path. We have to have right understanding of our true nature and our purpose for being here, and that we are but pilgrims on this eternal journey. And that our resolve is our intention to overcome the frailties of our lower nature. The next three of livelihood, speech, and action deal with ethical conduct. And the last three, effort Mindfulness and concentration are mental disciplines. Impermanence is a reality of the physical world. We will just end with a few quotes of Buddha that we can find in our everyday life that are reminders that if we bring our mind back to these realities and read quotes from Buddha that we find scattered about in our daily life, it will raise our thoughts to higher planes. One, that life is strange. You arrive with nothing, spend your whole life chasing everything, and still leave with nothing. Make sure your soul gains more than your hands. Judgment, life doesn't get easier. You just get stronger. And three ideas that Buddha expresses about depression is when you keep thinking about the past. And stress is when you constantly think about the present. And anxiety is when your mind is focused on the future. Your mind is a powerful thing. When you start to filter it with positive thoughts, your life will start to change. One who speaks with a pure heart is a person of great powers, and which we've all have heard before and know too very well from science. If an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends. If broken by an inside force, life begins. Great things don't start outside you. They begin within. The word samsara is life itself. And samsara is a crowded beach. Nirvana is a lonely mountain. Everything is impermanent. These are but a few ideas of the Dhammapada. It is a book which you can turn to for moments of inspiration and in moments of sorrow and delight. For we are masters of our own ship, and we can direct it wherever we wish. But it takes a fortified will and an energetic enthusiasm to know the truth. We'll end here, but we will open this up for contributions. Perhaps you have some Buddhist ideas that you have carried in your life. JCS.
Could you repeat again, please, the past, present, and future use of mind? Depression comes from the past.
Yes, depression is when you keep thinking about the past. Don't we know this so very well? Stress we also know very well, is when you constantly think about the present. And we all know what anxiety is. It's when your mind is focused on the past.
Thank you.
Yes, and we can free ourselves from that by knowing that. SL.
So, the Dharmapada is included in our study of the sacred texts of the world. Why would you think it is included and has a power of being a sacred text when it makes no reference to God, a attribute of what many think would characterize the sacred text?
Well, we think Buddha does not mention God because we have a direct connection to God. God dwells within us. Theosophy states that the Christos principle lies within the heart, that of Buddha. We are all of the Buddha nature. That love is the dominant force within the universe. We are beings of light, and light is love. And we are ever reminded that we do not need an intermediary to speak to God. To have God in our presence, we can, through concentration and devotion, bring that Christ consciousness into our very being. So, what makes this a sacred text is that Buddha reminds us of our true nature. And that God in this world in which we live has been relegated to an anthropomorphic being. And God is not that. God is everything we see, is everything within the universe. God has no beginning, God has no end. God has no attributes. God is boundless, eternal, omnipresent. So that we should be aware that nature is a representation of God, and that when we refer to God, we do not refer to a being. And I think more than anything, Buddha has showed us that we are of that Buddha nature. We are of that love. And we need to regenerate in ourselves through ethical conduct, the virtues of life, the virtues which were and are elucidated in the voice of the silence as dana, as love and charity, as sila, as harmony in word and act, as kshanti, as patience sweet that naught can ruffle, and virga, indifference to both pleasure and pain, detachment. And through the development of these four virtues, dauntless energy or virga emerges from our very being. And through dhyana, meditation, and concentration, compassion and mercy emerges. And prajna, one becomes a bodhisattva, a speaker of truth. Theosophy Hall.
Reading the Dhammapada this week, it was very re refreshing. We're not one to, who usually does that, but it was refreshing because it has an effect on us. It kind of lights things up, and it was nice to see how complementary or identical it is to the teachings of theosophy, the mystical teachings of theosophy. It was refreshing to see that. We were glad we spent time on it. Our question here is that the speaker mentioned that Buddha came as a reformer of Hinduism. And we've always seen it as not as Hinduism, but one of the things, two of the things we think of is karma and reincarnation in Hinduism. Whenever we read Buddhist types of works, we don't see too much of an explanation of reincarnation. Karma is in there, but does the idea of reincarnation have its place, and where is that place in Buddhism?
Well, the idea of reincarnation and karma are well preserved in the Buddhist tradition. It's preserved in Mahayana Buddhism. That is considered the great boat, the great teaching for all. As Hinayana is called the small boat, or that which is individual salvation. Mahayana Buddhism is for salvation of the entire world. And that's what motivated Buddha. Now, we would consider theosophy very much intertwined with Mahayana Buddhism. And we know that in Mahayana Buddhism, reincarnation is taught openly, but not in the southern, as we had mentioned, where the soul does not have a continuity of egoity from life to life. So it is not taught there. And many of the scholars that have delved into Buddhism approached their studies through the Southern school. So much of the understanding of Buddhism or of reincarnation was not explained that well to the Western mind. And Mahayana Buddhism is still practiced in Tibet, Burma, Ceylon, and parts of the Middle East. Now it has vanished from India through much turmoil and much change. But there still exist those ideas, and that the Brahmins, who were very, very jealous of the teachings and kept them quite secret and sacred and did not divulge them to the masses. Well, this is where Buddha comes in, because he did divulge them to the masses. And this is why the Brahmins have tried to discredit Buddhism. and why the main reason it has disappeared from much of India. So, we hope that's some help. If you have any follow-up, okay. SL.
Well, as a continuation of that discussion, we recall that one of the more popular initial texts on theosophy was a book called Esoteric Buddhism. And even today, if you go online or read different authors, you get the idea that the teachings of theosophy were borrowed from Buddhism. Well, is that how we should understand it, that theosophy is a collection or borrowing from Buddhism? Or is there something more real, ancient, archaic, beyond Buddhism? Or is Buddhism more of an expression of something more ancient and eternal?
Well, that's a question which many have asked. Is theosophy Buddhism? And we would say no. But we would say Buddhism is theosophical. Theosophy, its origin is in the night of time. It is the root of all religions. It is the root of Buddhism. It is from where all religions have originated. And it has not borrowed, but it has reawakened these archaic teachings to the mass of public awareness. So theosophy has not, borrowed from Buddhism, but theosophy has given out these ideas, and that these ideas have been proclaimed throughout every religion. But theosophy is not a religion in that sense. It is a path. It's a path to awakening and to becoming an adept, becoming a being of great power and understanding. There are two paths on which we can walk: the path of adeptship or the path of mediumship. Choose ye which you wish to travel. Is that of any help or any add to that? We have several. Oh, yes. Theosophy Hall.
We wanted to mention that there are three chats. Shall
Well,
we
we
read
were
the
going to
first
just
one?
get to that, but since you were
Oh,
so
okay.
polite in doing that, could you read them for us?
Okay, the first one's very long, actually.
Okay.
I appreciate that the Tao's eight trigrams are divided into familiar roles. Dharma as the roles of father, mother, then the three sons and daughters show how nature has distributed its energy, prana, into human categories. It was said earlier that God is not anthropomorphic, yet our condition is. So we should understand that we are created as evidenced by our human roles in family relationships. That's my opinion. Family is important. Even as a metaphysical construct, it is life. One who practices separation and repose is fixated on the departure from material existence versus its development. And I believe theosophy is about developing reality. So that was a contribution.
Yes. You know that we're not too sure about the first statement about prana and so forth, but we understand that we are not created, but we are evolved beings. We never were not. we always were. So that our existence is but a recapitulation. That we are traveling this journey in life to bring forth or to touch all of life so that it too can progress on its journey toward self-consciousness. So we see all of life as a progression of development of consciousness. And that's what it is, a development of consciousness. And that, that we practice separation and repose, but we are not fixated on departing this material life. We are fixated on developing this spiritual life. And that family is but an expression of our connectedness to each other. We see it in the family. We're connected. But that connection is with all of life. We are only given a bird's eye view of that connection in a family. And that becomes our testing ground for our future of how we relate to all of life. So theosophy is in the developing of that reality. That we are gods in the making. We wouldn't think that now, but yes, that is our goal for all of humanity. And Buddha was said to be a sixth round being. Well, what does that mean? We're in the fourth round, the round which, if we use analogy and correspondence, relates to the fourth principle of man, of kama, of desire. And we can all see that that is what has developed or is developing in this round. And that development will culminate, as stated in the voice of the silence, as pure compassion. And that in our next round, which will be the fifth, will be the development of mind. And we would think that Jesus was a fifth rounder in that respect. And then the sixth round is analogous or corresponds to Buddhi. That part of us which is divine and pure, from which everything in this physical world comes. For deity or for Atma cannot materialize. It sends forth its reflection, which is Buddhi. Now, yes, please go ahead.
Shall we read the next one?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is Yeshua also taught on reincarnation in the Gospels when he stated that John the Baptist was Elijah. And we would also think, some of those teachings of Jesus seem like really close to the Dhammapada, really close to Buddhism.
Yes, very much so. But, reincarnation is taught in the Old Testament. And that, that the coming again of Elijah is just an example of reincarnation being mentioned. That, during the fifth century, reincarnation was struck from the Bible. That all reference to re-embodiment and our celestial heritage was struck, was omitted from the Bible text. So if we are a devout Christian, we can confine traces of reincarnation in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. That, reincarnation is an ancient idea that was taught in Jesus' time, but only excluded by organized religion to gain control of people's minds and their hearts, and make the priest, the intermediary between oneself and his own godlike nature. Excuse us. And why was Buddha not clear about the soul and not clear about deity? Well, I think Buddha was clear about the soul and clear about the deity, meaning that we are the deity. We are a ray of that great sun. We are a drop in that ocean that we have within us. And we are told over and over again that we can reawaken these stagnant ideas that dwell within our heart. We just need to clear away the cobwebs of our delusions that we are separate, that life is a journey, and the universe came into existence for the experience of the soul, for the soul to know itself. And that we do through diligence and what we would say as the, not of the voice of the silence, but the Bhagavad Gita, through devotion. And if we read, as was said before, the Dhammapada, we are inspired. But as well as we read the Bhagavad Gita, we can truly know a spiritual book by just reading it. We may not understand the words, but it lifts our spirit. So lift your spirit, become engaged, and love life. And if you found these ideas of help, we welcome you to our study of theosophy. We welcome one and all, for theosophy is a school where we can bring out from our nature our true understanding of life. We thank you for your attention, and we welcome you to our study. And we will see you, hopefully, on next Sunday, this Wednesday, and Friday. Be well and love life.